This is fine. This is a poor substitute for therapy, but an excellent substitute for other podcasts.
We're not like other podcasts.
Join us as we find the answers to the universe's biggest questions like, is butter a carb? Does crying burn calories? And what the fuck am I doing with my life? We're here to be your part-time therapist, astrologer, concierge doctor, and fairy godmother. Do you need someone to validate you today? Cool. Come on in. We're fine. This is fine. Hello, angel babes. Welcome to another episode of This Is Fine. If this is your first episode, hello and bienvenue. You've made it to a sparkly, cozy, silly, goofy corner of the internet, and I am so excited you've joined us. I'm your host, Dominique, and I'll be your captain aboard this party cruise today. Actually, we're not wearing our party pants today. This is less of a party cruise and more of a career ambitious vibe. We're switching over to some business betch trousers or whatever is the professional but still fun equivalent of party pants. So let's talk topic du jour. For today's episode, we're talking about marketing yourself and perhaps rebranding your professional self if it's up for a rebrand. Even if you aren't building a new business or a new brand, creating your own professional personal brand can help you with so much. Navigating being a woman in the workplace, advocating for yourself, managing conflict successfully, negotiating better, and even landing more leadership roles and promotion opportunities. Obviously, I had to call in an expert on this topic because most of you know I don't work in the corporate world, but I do have a personal and professional brand and my own little business. That's another topic for another day. There's something for any and every ambitious individual on this episode and anyone looking to channel a little more confidence. So today, This Is Fine welcomes Trish Seidel, who is going to be your marketing big sister. Trish is the head of content at Just, a B2B tech company in Paris, as well as the founder and creator of Marketing Big Sister. Not only does Trish have an MBA specialized in business communication and brand strategy, but she has worked in the French tech space for a decade, helping French businesses edge out their competitors in English-speaking markets. TLDR, she is a boss-ass bitch. Are you ready to brand strategize yourself so you can maximize your career? Learn a thing or two about how to overcome hurdles as a woman in the workplace or as a woman in tech? Perfect. Trish did 154 big sister chats last quarter alone. Fucking insane. But this one today is on the house. It's gratuit. Let's get into it. Trish, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for coming to our little studio.
Yeah, studio. Totally. Happy to be here.
The studio in the studio. I guess technically it's sort of a one bedroom. We don't need to talk about
it. You know what? It's perfect.
Thank you for coming.
It is Paris Perfect.
Oh my God, Paris Perfect. Is that an account that I follow on Instagram?
Probably.
Yeah.
Saw it somewhere.
It's Paris Perfect, the name of my studio. Okay, well, thank you for being here. Thank you for the chat that we're about to have. I cannot believe this app is free for everyone.
I know.
This is about to be a really powerful, profound, inspirational chat for your career and your personal life, I think.
I hope so. That's the goal.
That's our goal. Okay, so I love to start off every episode by saying, or asking rather, are you fine today? How are you doing?
I'm so good. I'm super fine. I'm really happy to be here. And this is so fine.
This is so fine.
It's so fine.
And I also know that you are a listener, so thank you so much.
A dedicated listener. Me and my Dyson Airwrap every morning, just listening to your soothing voice in the wee hours of the dawn.
Oh my God, that is literally like so on brand for the vision I had for this show. Just like the Dyson Airwrap girlies. Like,
it's so true. Niche luxury, baby.
Oh my God, yes. Thank you. You already know like the canon lore. Like, okay, perfect start. So let's just like dive right in. You went from being a double major in musical theater and French. First of all, iconic. Like, what?
It's like a 2000s rom-com.
No, but like literally. Also a French major, big slay. So you went from this, which is very creative, like you're working in the arts, and now you're tech boss / entrepreneur / marketing big sister, kind of a leap, but I know that there are about 10-ish years in between those points.
Yeah, sure are.
So bridge that gap for us. How did you get here?
Oh my gosh, that is quite the story. I always like to say that like France chose me. So obviously we're here in Paris, but after, you know, after graduating, what do you do with a French major?
Like,
Go to France, exactly. So I came here in 2015 as an au pair, just to like kind of get the visa. You know how challenging that can be. Get the visa. And as soon as I started living here, I got a job at a nonprofit for women's rights. I started out as a copywriter, as an editorial manager, and I kind of found my love of the tech world and the corporate world and being able to have an impact in some way. And I found that I had a talent for copywriting and marketing and things like that. And so that's kind of what spurred this dive into the corporate space.
Okay.
And I got my MBA in 2019, graduated in 2019, middle of COVID. And then I became the corporate tech girly that you see here today.
Amazing.
Here today.
Who would have thought back in the musical theater days that you would be working in tech?
I know. But you know what? There are so many transferable skills. It's maybe it's a topic for another podcast,
yeah.
But it has been essential to me doing what I do now. And yeah, it's been great.
I think that actually does really play into what we will eventually talk about today, which is harnessing different aspects of your skills and your background into whatever you want to go into next, being able to pivot and transition. I don't want to jump ahead too much, but we just mentioned you've been a corporate girly for a decade and you decided you wanted to do even more with your career recently and mm-hmm. do a little pay it forward. You have created the Marketing Big Sister brand. What was the impetus for starting this new part of your career and your life?
So that's a great question. I have found that there's been one major success factor to my career. It has been mentorship. It has been the ability to have someone to think things over with, who's not maybe your direct manager or even someone that you work with, but someone who can listen to you, guide you, give you really good advice, who's not going to sit in judgment, who's going to sit there in admiration and kind of lift you up and empower you to do better. And that is something that I've wanted to give back as much as I can to any younger marketers and even older marketers. You know, you never know. I also have big sisters and big brothers out there. And so that is why I created Marketing Big Sisters, because I wanted to give back to the world as much as it's given to me, I guess.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's beautiful and so yeah. altruistic. No, but it's so true. Like, the aspect of having any kind of mentorship. Mm-hmm. Like, I never, ever, ever anticipated that having like astrology mentorship and like spiritual mentorship would lead me in the way that it did. You know what I mean? That's
Absolutely.
Not something I was necessarily even searching for, but it has transformed my life. Having the right people
mm-hmm.
kind of like, yeah, like on your shoulder, like giving you a pat on the back when you need it, giving you advice when you need it. Like, that yeah. is so invaluable. You literally can't put a price on that.
You can't. And I think it's also that, like, that third party advice of someone who's not directly implicated mm-hmm. in the situation can be very objective. And
so
be like,
true.
You need to leave, or you need to get out of here, or
right.
you need to do this X, Y, and Z. And if you don't, that's okay. I'm here to support you anyway and lift you up as much as I can. But
yep.
because you're impartial, you have that ability to really give the real advice that maybe they're not getting from anyone else.
Yeah, totally.
Obviously in a kind, nice, empowering way.
Of course. A gentle and sweet way when it needs to be.
Yes.
So you are helping women and sometimes men
yep.
in these big sister chats, and you're helping them find their personal brand within their professional lives, find mm-hmm. their confidence. Let's talk about what that means. Like, mm-hmm. what are you helping them discover about themselves? Am I right to assume that you're helping them figure out like who they are in the workplace?
I think so. I mean, I think I'd like to say that we talk about anything and everything. Like, when you go to my LinkedIn and you see Marketing Big Sister, you can book a chat with me. The prompt is talk about marketing, life, love, career, negotiation, leadership, etc.
Yeah. So it's like professional coaching.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard for me to say that because I don't know if I see myself that way, but I
okay.
hope that others maybe see me that way.
I definitely see it. But like everything you're saying, I'm like, oh, that's a professional coach. Like
yeah.
that's a career coach.
That's true. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh my God, of course. Own it, sister.
Yeah. Thanks, sister. So a lot of the chats that I have, I've had hundreds at this point, and there are a lot of major themes that come up, but I think a lot of it comes from a lack of confidence and a lack of self-assurance and a lack of just knowing your own voice and being able to use it properly without the fear of coming off as aggressive, as overly confident, as arrogant, as, you know, disruptive, disruptive in the negative sense. And I think that that is where a lot of women and young men get stuck, is in that fear of perception.
Right. I mean, that's huge in terms of like your personal brand, right?
Yeah.
How others perceive you.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not clear about how we're presenting ourselves, the concept of how others perceive us can be a little bit abstract.
1,000%.
Okay. So I'm thinking like, or I have this ambiguous anxiety about how people in the workspace are perceiving me, but maybe it's because I'm not clear about how I am presenting myself and then solid enough in what I'm presenting, like how
yeah.
I feel about that, to not worry so much if someone isn't amenable to that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, it can be the path is a little bit complicated, right? Because knowing your professional self is also knowing your personal self.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you're young in your career, you don't have the skills to back you up,
right?
So when you're a senior manager or whatever, you have the skills and the clout.
The proof.
Yeah. The proof in the pudding, I guess, to be like, no, this is wrong and this is right because I have years of experience that kind of back you up. But when you're young in your career and you're kind of going off instinct, the tendency is to kind of humble yourself and put yourself in a corner and be like, okay, I'm just going to sit here and learn. But we don't have that option really anymore. Young professionals don't really have the option to kind of sit in the corner and just observe and learn like they used to. They have to, in order to get ahead in this market, they have to be on top of their game and they have to be kind of constantly learning and constantly knowing and speaking up.
We're doing it live.
Yeah, doing it live.
Yeah.
And that pressure can also have those adverse consequences of being like, oh my God, I don't know anything. Like, holy shit, what am I supposed to do?
You could, yeah, you can say whatever you want, girl.
So I think that's where a lot of that fear comes from, is being like, okay, I'm afraid of the potential feedback I could get. I'm afraid of being wrong. It's the fear of the unknown.
Okay.
Yeah.
So would you say in general, a lot of us need reminders that like all of us are wrong sometimes?
Absolutely.
All of us need feedback.
All the time. Right. I'm wrong literally all the time. This is my job. Like I'm a big sister on the side. I'm head of content right now actively. And I'm wrong all the time. And I think the approach of being wrong is owning it. Being like, well, oh well, like we'll do better next time. You know what I mean? And again, like knowing who you are in that sense. And again, I mean, everyone wants to preach they know who they are.
Yeah, that's true.
And when you do know who you are, you have the ability to shuck off anything that doesn't fit you.
Doesn't align with you.
But in the career, in the workspace in general, that can be, a lot of that self-assurance relies on those skills versus actually who you are.
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
Feedback and being wrong can be very disorienting in that sense.
Right. So it's like sort of not personalizing feedback too much, right?
Yeah.
Like if it's something that you're doing, it's not who you are. We're always doing things differently. We're evolving.
Absolutely.
We're changing. Like what we do changes over time. I mean, who we are.
Yeah.
This is like more of a philosophical thing. I'm like, who we are change over time? Or is it a fixed thing with like some surface level variable? Like, anyway, that was not the topic today.
I think we do change over time for sure. But kind of bringing it back to the professional workspace.
Yeah.
Feedback isn't personal.
Yeah.
Some people make it personal.
Right.
And that's what you have to look out for. And as women, so we females in the workplace, our feedback is often coded.
So true.
If there's lots of subtext and bias, and even if people don't realize that they're doing it, a lot of this is unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
So be sure that when you're getting the feedback that you are not just taking it as hard, cold fact, that you are analyzing it and being like, actually, no, like you are wrong.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's okay to say that, obviously, again, in a nice professional way.
In a professional and very tactful way.
Yes.
But yeah, it's sort of like having solid footing and confidence. I think a lot of it comes down to like, are you confident in what you're doing? Are you confident in who you are?
Mm-hmm.
Does that seem to be a theme with your big sister chats, is the topic of confidence?
1,000%.
Okay.
1,000%. And again, I think that confidence grows when you have more skills.
But more proof again.
More proof in the pudding. But lots of the people that I speak to have the skills already. They just don't believe that they do.
Interesting.
And that is the difference of like skill-based confidence, is that they think that they don't think they have it.
Right.
And when I speak to them and I'm like, okay, like talk me through what your day-to-day looks like. I'm like, okay, no, that's actually that skill that you need.
Mm-hmm.
You're formulating it as this, but it's actually this, and that's the skill that you need in order to do better.
Okay.
So you do have the tools. Lots of them already are doing so great. They
just
deserve
to
have the confidence. They just don't see it.
Okay. My brain is going French right now. For those who monk the confidence.
Yeah, like, I know.
So
it's
literally mixing it up right now. So for, I know this is not going to be an easier, straightforward answer, but if someone's listening right now is saying, okay, that's me, like maybe I do have the skills, but I just don't really feel confident in myself right now. Or maybe they don't even realize they have the skills. And they're like, you know what? I don't feel confident in the workplace right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is there like a little trick? Is it talking it out with someone? Like what's the bridge?
Dominique, you know what I'm going to say?
Schedule a big sister chat?
Well, that. Yes, obviously. But they need a Chloe.
Oh, okay. This is a perfect opportunity. Great segue. Didn't even know we were coming up to this point.
Yeah.
So Trish has an alter ego named Chloe.
Chloe.
Will you just take it from the top?
Yeah.
Just describe the birth of Chloe.
Okay. So Chloe. So it actually came from this TikTok that I saw ages ago. And it was talking about, and it was this young woman who was talking about how she channels different personalities for different things.
Mm-hmm.
the example that she gave is that she had to do her taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Doing your taxes is impossible. It is so hard. It's hard on purpose, yep. obviously. And so she channels her dad when she has to sit down and do a task that's very uncomfortable for her. Because cool. her dad is very methodical. He's very strong. He's very straightforward. He doesn't get up and get distracted. He's just like, you know, straight to the point. And that inspired me to create an alter ego who is not just an alter ego. She's an extension of myself, mm-hmm. who is Chloe. Chloe is a badass bitch. She is strong and bitch, not in the, you know, horrible.
We know. You know, a bad bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, a bad bitch. She is French and she has an attitude and mm-hmm. she's strong and confident and funny and doesn't take any bullshit from people. And Chloe is the girl that I channel when I need help.
Yep. And Chloe is you.
And Chloe's me.
But to access that part of ourselves, like mm-hmm. the girl on TikTok who mm-hmm. has all the skills that her father has, but needs this sort of like mental trick to access those yeah. parts that maybe she didn't identify with.
It's totally psychological.
Yeah.
And there's an actual psychological term for it. I can't recall
schizophrenia. I'm just kidding. Me and my many personalities. Like,
yes. I mean, doesn't everyone have like schizophrenia?
I'm just kidding. And in no way do I mean to make fun of any mental illness. We're talking to someone who has plenty of them. So.
This is a safe place.
We're fine.
So, yeah. So, it's totally psychological to manifest Chloe, who, again, is an extension of myself. I have all of those qualities. But for me, when I manifest Chloe, I don't have the guilt of association that comes with it.
Right.
And okay. I think that, you know, we tend to associate strong and assertive as negative terms, especially as a woman.
So
especially
true.
Especially in the workplace.
Yeah.
And Chloe doesn't care about that.
Yeah. She doesn't give a shit.
No. She doesn't give a goddamn shit. Like, she's yeah. so cool. And she's just like, you want to be mad at me? Be mad at me. Like, yeah. this is your professional life. This yep. is not your real life.
She's here to get shit done.
Yeah.
No frills.
No frills. And she's not mean. Mm-hmm. She's not a mean girl.
Right. She's direct.
She's very kind, but she's direct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. Okay. So that's a fantastic method for tapping mm-hmm. into more confidence.
Yeah.
Kind of coming up with an alter ego.
Absolutely. And like, I would challenge you to write down the qualities that you see in women that you admire.
Yeah.
And turn them into your alter ego. Women that I've spoken to on these big sister chats who have taken the name of their manager, of a previous mentor, of their aunt, of their mm-hmm. mom, and like
made up person.
And they write down their qualities and they're just yeah. like, you know what, today I need to channel her because that's mm-hmm. that's what's gonna give me strength.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm like, how to gaslight yourself into being confident. Come up with an alter ego.
It's so true. Like,
no, it's amazing.
It really works.
Yeah, yeah. I love this. I need to do this in different areas of my life, not just professional.
Totally.
I don't have an alter ego yet. We haven't discovered her.
She's going to be born. I have a
feeling. She will be born here in Paris.
Yeah.
Her birth chart. I'm like, I need to wait because I don't know if she's going to be a Pisces. Like,
what is the best astrological sign?
I know. Like, what is the best for like my alter ego? Not Virgo again. Yeah. There's too much of that. Anyway. So that is one way of tapping into confidence, channeling more of that. Are there other themes that tend to come up quite a bit in your big sister chats?
Yeah. This one's much more marketing related. So it's kind of how to deal with leadership.
Okay.
And this is the topic that I think a lot of people in general struggle with, because the gap between junior marketer to senior marketer to C-suite
mm-hmm.
is they're light years apart.
Grand Canyon. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it'd be like going from here to the moon.
You yeah.
know what I mean? The way we speak is differently when you get to a leadership role. If yeah. you want to get into a leadership role, you have to do certain things. You have to be prepared to have difficult conversations. And you also need to be vastly prepared to learn that people in the C-suite aren't necessarily smarter
or
more qualified.
Yeah.
And it's kind of that.
That's rough.
Yeah. It's a very like distorted view that we have of executive and of C-suites. And it's like right. that Michelle Obama quote. I think it was her Oprah interview. And she was like, you quickly learn that the men that are running this country are not very powerful and they're not very smart. And you're just like, damn.
Holy shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, iconic. Also true in the corporate world. You know what I mean? And that's not the case for everybody. There are lots of brilliant people running companies, but like
yeah.
the disillusion can be challenging.
That makes so much sense. And like, not to be political or anything, but sometimes like we'll get to an election and I'm like, this is the best our country has to offer right yeah. now. Like mm-hmm. what?
I know.
Like it's there funny. Have to be smarter people.
Yeah.
And what? You
wonder how these people get to these C-suite positions and you're just like, how on earth?
Like, I know that we have like so many bright minds, mm-hmm. so many brilliant people.
Yeah.
are among us on this floating space rock. Like,
yeah, as we hurl ourselves through time and space.
We're hurtling through time and space on this floating rock.
Existential crisis over here.
Like, I know there are so many brilliant people. And then sometimes I get to like an election, which is the only example I can think of. And I'm like, those are the only ones who stepped forward. Like, yeah. How did we get to this place?
Yeah. And sometimes they lack just like, they're really brilliantly business mind smart, but they're human. They're incompetent with human tasks.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're brilliant human people and people managers, but they're bad business people.
Right.
Finding the merits.
They're just
of
people.
Both. Yeah, they're just people. They're all, they also have their faults and everything like that. And I think that disillusionment, is that a word? Disillusionment?
Disillusionment, yeah.
Yeah, I think
for
so.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure. You know what I mean? So that is something that comes up a lot in the chats is, how do I speak to leadership? What do I need to do in order to communicate with them in the way that they're going to understand?
Right.
Because lots of people in leadership don't understand marketing.
Yeah.
Which is fair. It's not their job.
And they don't appreciate it.
And they do not appreciate it.
Yeah.
And that is a huge problem that we're seeing right now in the market of being like, people want great marketers. They don't understand marketing and they don't know how to hire good marketers.
Yep.
And they don't know how to promote great marketers.
Yes. And they want their business to grow and they want more people to know about it, but then they don't give a shit about marketing and they don't want to put budget toward marketing.
Exactly.
They don't want to respect the people who work in marketing.
Yeah.
I think anyone who's ever worked in marketing or PR, advertising, I feel like advertising has its own thing. Like, that's more like metrics and what's the word I'm looking for?
Data driven
and like quantifiable than like marketing and PR is more like qualitative. I think anyone who has worked in those fields knows the pain of like higher ups just like not giving a shit about what they do.
Or they have their expectations are vastly overrated because there are things that you just can't measure.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No, it's so true.
So so that is a huge topic that comes up is leadership, negotiation, skills building to get from one place to another.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Cool. Any other FAQs that you just get a lot of people hitting you up on LinkedIn? By the way, if you didn't gather already, if I didn't say it in the intro, I can't remember. Trish is a LinkedIn influencer. She's the most popular person on LinkedIn. And this is how people have found her so far. How many Big Sister chats have you done? Hundreds.
Hundreds. I'm in the 200s now.
Damn. Yeah. Girl, and when did you start them?
The start of Q4. So that would be...
Oh, literally just Q4.
October, November. Yeah, October.
And you did, I want to say, 154
in
Q4 alone.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Okay. So people are finding you on LinkedIn.
It's amazing. Yeah.
So you know how to market yourself.
Sure do. I'd like to think so.
Yes. And people are hitting you up for different reasons, like finding confidence in the workplace, creating their like personal professional brand, navigating, you know, leadership and I guess their dynamics and relationship with leadership.
Yep.
Any other kind of like big themes that come up for you, like career changes, skills?
One of the big things that I get all the time is how to bridge the gap between a copywriter and a content marketer. So I've been a content marketer for the last 10 years. I did a short stint in growth marketing for a while. Not my thing. Love the content. And so a lot of content marketers start off as copywriters. So either an agency or in-house, you're hired on to write. That is your job. It's another form of journalism, which is, you know, Dominique, your field. And bridging that gap between one to the other can be very challenging. Again, it's the same example of them, all of these wonderful people having the skills already. They just don't know that they have the skills.
Right.
And so that is a big question that I get, is that they want to advance their career from copywriter to content marketer, and they don't know what they have to do that.
Okay.
And so it's more about showing them that they have the skills or where they need to focus in order to get those skills.
Okay.
In order to make that career gap.
You don't even have to teach them the skill. You're like, it's already there. You're just teaching them that it's there.
Right. And showing them what the actual skills that are missing. So there's no handbook or guidebook to marketing because it's so new. It's changing all the time. So like the methods of, let me give you an example. You know how to be a successful salesperson. You make a lot of deals, right? It's a financial quality metric, right? To be a lawyer, you have to know the law, right? That is your metric of success.
Right.
But in marketing, things are changing all the time, every day.
How you market,
what you market, the tools that you use to market, the tools that you use to be a better marketer. Like, look at AI. AI came out of left field and
don't get me started. Too soon.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I'm fine.
It came out of left field and it took everybody by storm, and it's an incredible tool that we have, but it changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no guidebook to being a marketer or a content marketer.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of people don't know what it takes to be a good content marketer. Like, that's normal. There's mm-hmm. no one tells you anything. And the standards that people use to hire content marketers are so vastly different,
yeah.
depending on the industry, the company, the size, the vertical, the revenue. Like, you can be 1,000 different things, wear 1,000 different hats. And so there's yep. very few skills that, like, you can be like, that's what it takes to be a good content marketer.
And then you stay in that forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
It doesn't exist. And right. so we look at the more soft skills that you need in order to manage that change.
Okay.
To be good at what you do.
The shock absorption so you can keep going with the flow of change.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So good. So the spoiler, the one skill that you need to be a good content marketer is project management.
Ah, yeah, that makes sense.
It is thinking beyond the piece of content that you're writing.
Yeah.
It is how you're going to distribute it and mm-hmm. maximize the return on investment
okay.
for it. And that's project management. It's yeah. just organization.
Okay.
And so that is what I hope I can help the little sisters see.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm just like, maybe I need to tap into some of my project management.
Absolutely.
I'm also thinking about how much has evolved since I sort of went the backwards way, mm. like marketing and PR into just writing.
Yeah.
And then sort of back out again. And I did social media marketing for so long, but like 10 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And so many people are like, oh, you do social media marketing. I'm like, I did 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I have no idea how to do social marketing now.
Yeah.
Like, there's too much of a gap
yeah.
between what existed when like Instagram was first born.
100%.
Right? And like yeah. everything that's available now, it's completely changed. It's a completely different landscape, a different world.
Absolutely. And social media marketing is such a powerhouse of a career because you have to be on top of it.
Like, oh, yeah.
You cannot go one day, well, you can go many days without scrolling on TikTok or Instagram or whatever, but right. you have to be constantly consuming and you have yeah. to enjoy it.
Right. That is such a good point. You yeah. can't truly market if you're not also a consumer.
No.
Yeah.
You have to love what you consume.
Right.
Like, I love to consume content.
Yeah.
And that's why I think I'm a good marketer.
Mm-hmm.
But social media marketing is so hard. It is so hard. And I think it doesn't get enough attention. Honestly, people are like, oh, an intern can do that.
Right.
Oh, whatever. Like, oh, it's an afterthought.
That's how it started too. Like yeah. when things first started rolling out, like Tumblr, Twitter, Vine, Instagram, like all of those like nascent, like baby brands, right? They started yeah. rolling out. That was like the millennial intern's job.
Yeah.
That the boomers were like, oh, like an intern will handle that. Cause yeah. like they're on their phones a lot, right?
They don't understand it. Yeah.
And it is,
I don't understand it. They right? do it. Yeah.
And it's completely revolutionized like everything that we do. And it's still thought of as like, oh, the intern does that for
Absolutely,
us.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you want to be strategic in social media, it is the job of like 3 or 4 people.
Oh, totally.
It's huge. Yeah.
yeah. I remember when I was doing social media work, all of the accounts that we managed and like the company that I worked for was owned by Nike. And Nike was like, oh, we have 40 people for one Twitter account. We were like, we have one person for 40 accounts.
Wow.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, man. So
that's amazing.
The way things have changed. I mean, they were totally ahead of the times, totally. As Nike usually is.
Good for them.
Yeah. So, sorry, I feel like I got a little bit off track here, but
no,
I think the point is what you were talking about is the change and the skill set. Mm. The biggest thing to, I guess, take advantage of if you are a copywriter looking to go into content marketing
exactly.
is to hone in on project management.
100%.
Okay. And yeah. if you don't have or you don't think you have project management skills yet, do you have suggestions for next steps with that or what they can tap into?
I mean, I think that's a great question. I think it would be taking on more responsibility in the role that you're currently in.
Okay.
And normally if you ask, you shall receive.
Yeah. Okay.
Lots of young professionals don't dare ask because maybe they're afraid of failure. If they ask and they fail, like what is that going to do? You won't. You're not going to fail.
Right.
And if you do,
there's not like a real failure, right? Like making a mistake or doing something wrong isn't failure.
Yeah.
It's a learning opportunity.
It is. And like they say, feedback is a gift and, you know, mm-hmm. failure are only lessons. And I know that sounds trite, but it's so true.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, take on more responsibility of where your current place of work is or take on a side project if you can. Like obviously don't overwork yourself, don't burn yourself out. But I think the first step is being like alerting, like raising the flag of being like, I want to do more.
Yeah.
Very few people are going to say no to that.
That's so true. You know? Because how many people want to do less?
Exactly.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So kind of pivoting a little bit, we talked a bit about having your own sort of personal and professional brand mm-hmm. in the workplace that'll help kind of assert your confidence. I was going to say assert your dominance, but that sounds so aggressive. But, you know, to be more assertive, more confident, more comfortable with exactly who you are, what you bring to the table, your adaptability, willingness to learn and make mistakes. Like if you're really solid in that brand, it offers you a lot of things. Can you talk about how having your own personal and professional brand in your career has helped you?
Yeah, I mean, it's changed my life. It truly changed my life. And I never thought I'd say that. I started Marketing Big Sister. Well, I started posting on LinkedIn as a challenge in my previous role. We wanted to see this, you know, black box of LinkedIn influencing and seeing what that could do for the company that I was working for. And they were like, does anyone want to try? And I was like, no, I'll try. Again, kind of that, what I was just talking about earlier, being like, let me try. Let me take
raise
on
my
more.
Hand.
Yeah, I'm raising my hand. I'd like to try. And my first post went viral.
So cool.
90,000 views on LinkedIn, which is huge.
I didn't know people were using LinkedIn like this until we talked about it.
Yeah.
Which is so nuts.
It's amazing.
It's popping off.
It really is.
Club LinkedIn on the internet.
Club LinkedIn. I'm the president of the fan club of LinkedIn.
No, you're like queen of the club. Like
I would love that. I'm
gonna club
that
president.
Queen of LinkedIn club.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my first post went viral. And that it never happens. Like that was a total fluke. It's because I worked on that post for a day and I had someone else look at it and there was a download, like a template to download.
Wow.
And the good thing about the LinkedIn algorithm is that it's not as sophisticated as
like TikTok.
TikTok or Instagram or whatever, is that anyone can have a viral post at any time. I guess kind of TikTok is kind of still like that probably.
Yeah, a little bit.
But like you don't have to have a previous following in order to do well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the good news, is that the barrier to entry is quite low.
Okay.
And so that's what kind of got me started. Like your post was viral. I was just like, ooh.
Ooh, that's
cool. Yeah, like fun. This is what this feels like. Ooh, yeah.
am I an influencer?
Yeah, like am I an influencer? Everyone in my office was so jealous.
Influencers.
Yeah,
what?
And so then my challenge was to post every day for 30 days. So every day during the work week, because I wasn't going to do it on my weekends.
Hell no. It's France after all.
Exactly. So I think it was like 25 posts in total or 24 posts. And by the end, I had gained, I think it was like 3,000 followers.
That's amazing.
In 30 days. Which
Damn.
Is huge. It's crazy. And since then, I'm creeping towards 10 after, you know, a little under a year. Yeah, a little under a year. My LinkedIn anniversary is in one
Happy
month.
Linkediversary.
So
LinkedIn.
So it started off as a challenge. Sorry, just circle back. It started off as a challenge to myself. And then after the 30 days were up, I was feeling really motivated and inspired. And so I kept doing it. And then I moved to, it's actually through LinkedIn that I got my current position. So the power of a personal brand.
So cool.
Yeah, I was posting and like obviously gaining some sort of authority on topics that I felt like I mastered. And I got offered a job and it was the right time, the right fit. And that's where I went now here at Just. And then I started to realize that my posts were going all towards one direction. I was talking to lots of people. I was having lots of networking calls. The key to doing well on LinkedIn is having coffee chats with people.
Ah.
You will see the same people in your comments. They'll see the same posts. Like you kind of become, you recognize each other.
Mm-hmm. Your internet friends.
Yeah, your internet friends.
Yeah.
And so you meet up with them over virtually over coffee and then you kind of become better friends. And,
wait, that's
know?
Really cute.
Yeah.
I love the connection.
It's the best.
Yeah.
Like I have friends from India, Pakistan, Canada, Mexico.
Wow.
Yeah. Dubai.
You're just hanging out on LinkedIn drinking coffee.
I know. Yeah. Exactly. So my personal brand got me this job and I started realizing that over these networking calls, people kept referring to me, oh, like you're like my big sister.
Yeah.
You're so sweet. Like you're like my big sister. Like Trish, like you really like empower me. You're my big sister. And I was like, that's like the fourth or fifth time I had heard that in a week. And I was just like, huh.
Your own brand and your essence was so strong, it named itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is the best way that a brand can be born.
So organic.
Yeah. It didn't feel forced. And it's very much who I am. And so I sat down one Saturday night, like, woo, crazy Saturday night.
Relatable.
Yeah. And I built out my brand. And so what did I want it to say? What did I want it to do? And this, having a brand like this has given me so much confidence because it's given me options.
Mm-hmm.
It has given me so many options. It's like the law of attraction, right? When you start putting out into the world the knowledge that you have, people start to see you as a reference. It's personal branding 101, but it's given me so much, not validation, because it's not validation, but it's lifted me up and empowered me to own the skills that I have.
I mean, that's healthy validation.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's crushed my imposter syndrome.
Yeah. That's so sick.
Yeah. It's amazing. And again, having this personal brand just kind of constantly gives me options. And so I'm a lot less likely to deal with bullshit.
Yeah.
Like on the other part of it, it's just like, I have options.
You absorbed Chloe in the womb.
Like, yeah. Chloe, she's like, I can feel her like coming out.
She's coming out. Yeah.
Yeah. But like you have such a lower tolerance for bullshit because you have so many options. Yeah. I'm offered 3 jobs a week.
That's amazing, dude.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking you could transfer that to so many other areas. Like if someone's listening to this right now and you're thinking about like, okay, yeah, like the personal brand thing is cool, but like I'm pretty set in my career. Like I'm good. Like, but maybe you want to use this for dating. Imagine instead of getting like 3 job offers a week, you're getting asked out by like 3 people a week.
Never have to buy groceries again.
Yeah.
Just eat out forever.
Free food forever. Oh my God. Yeah. Maybe I should be taking more notes.
Dummy, let's get you on LinkedIn, girlie.
So hungry. Yeah.
No, for sure. But like, even if you are set in your career, you don't know what lies ahead. You don't know what else could be out there.
It's so true. And I keep thinking this is a really transferable skill to almost any area of your life. Mm. Like having this confidence, being sure of who you are, not taking BS, advocating for yourself. Like that extends so far past boardroom, cubicle, virtual work, like whatever you are doing, like that's going to take you through so many areas of your life.
Yeah. And you're being empowered by your peers.
Mm-hmm.
So people that are like equals to you in that sense of being like, I'm connected with some incredible people who I think who have far better skills or greater skills than I do. And when I write a post or whatever and they comment on it and they're like, oh my God, I never thought of that. I'm like, really?
I thought of something you didn't.
Like, really? Like, wow. Okay.
That's so incredible.
It crushes all of those doubts and fears that you may have had about your skills. Cause like, even if you know things, you're like, maybe I actually don't know that. Like, maybe I'm terrible at my job and just no one's ever told me. You know what I mean? Like we're always doubting ourselves and having that healthy validation from your peers. And there's a fair share of challenges too. Like people are going to challenge you when you're thinking, but it's not the very difficult space that like other social media platforms are.
It's a little friendlier.
It's much friendlier. It's much more empowering.
Yeah, because it's professional. So there's more tact.
There's more tact. It's all like super public.
Yeah. And it's your name and like where you work and you're very findable.
Super findable.
It's
have much more tact.
There's more decorum. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we've seen how it's worked for you and your personal brand and how it has transformed your life and your career. Mm-hmm. Have you seen this work with other people who you have worked with Big Sister Chats through your LinkedIn network?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've seen it time and time again. I think personal branding is trending a lot right now.
And mm-hmm.
people are very aware of the power of a personal brand.
Yeah.
So it's not a secret that people are like jumping all over it.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad because I think it's a great thing to do to be competitive in this job market, which is just gnarly right now.
Word.
It's a Dominique word.
It's like you've been spending a lot of time with me.
Like gnarly.
So gnarly.
I've seen it time and time again. Some of the people that I speak with in these Big Sister Chats are looking to start their personal brand and they're just looking to get some advice on how, because you know the barrier to entry again is low with LinkedIn, but it's also just hard to start.
Yeah,
you don't know where to begin. Like you don't know how to start. Like you don't know what to write about.
I thought it was a resume place. Like
exactly. And there's also like a lot of bullshit courses out there. They're like, build your personal brand with LinkedIn.
So true, and they're expensive.
And they're so expensive.
You don't get anything out of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I think I've seen it time and time again. It's an incredibly valuable asset to have. And it's my number one recommendation to all of my interns and apprentices and young staff that work with me and underneath me is that we are going to build your personal brand together.
I love it. I mean, you know me, big fan of making a personal brand,
totally.
Especially in the form of a deck.
Yeah. Exactly. But it's just, it gives the confidence and breeds the confidence. And it's just a tool for them to use later.
Yeah.
Like if I can help them forge a path that feels right to them and that they are not going to struggle to look for jobs, but jobs are going to come to them.
Mm-hmm.
Total win.
So empowered.
Yeah.
You totally will never lose from being more confident and more sure of who you are.
Never.
Yeah. Okay. So if someone wants to book with you, they want to book a Big Sister Chat, do they just find you on LinkedIn?
Yeah.
What's the deal? Do they get 30 minutes with you?
It's 30 minutes. So you can book a Big Sister Chat with me through my LinkedIn. Connect with me on LinkedIn.
Yeah. It's hyperlinked in the bio.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. So yeah, connect with me on LinkedIn. I have a Calendly that's open. You can book up to 30 days in advance. They're 30 minutes. And again, we can talk marketing, life, love, leadership, coaching, how much you love your dog, who you're dating right now.
Like, about your problems.
anything. I'm here to hear it all. And once we are sisters, we're sisters for life. So
I love that. Yeah. Okay. So last question before I let you go and like eat and go home and stuff.
I'm having so much fun here.
I know. I mean, you can stay with me and stall forever. But what is next for Marketing Big Sister? What does the future hold?
Oh my gosh.
For Trish, Chloe, MBS.
Well, I guess it's time to announce the big news that Big Sister is turning into a podcast.
Yay!
So just like every other person here, we all have a podcast.
But Stella has a podcast.
Stella can be a Big Sister on our podcast. Get celebrity shot. But yeah, I think it's time to turn these conversations into much longer ones. So the goal is that we bring in all of our Big Sisters to have a sit down chat and talk about anything that we deal with in the corporate world and even in our personal lives. You know, being a woman in tech is difficult. Sometimes we can bring those issues home. Being a female executive, that can be really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously like marketing, because we love marketing, because we're marketing girlies.
Marketing girls.
Yeah, marketing girls. And life, love, happiness, relationship, whatever you want.
I love it. Yeah. I'm so excited. You are so perfect for this. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait to hear your show.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us. I would love to do this again. If you want to
anytime,
do a guest shot, a celebrity shot.
Celebrity shot anytime. Anytime.
Thank you so much. All of your info has, whether you like it or not, been linked in the episode description so people can go find you.
Thank you.
I hope you're feeling extra inspired and empowered right now. Isn't Trish so fucking cool? She inspires the hell out of me, and I am just so grateful to know her and be in her sphere. So if you want more of Trish, you want to hear about her podcast, get in touch with her, get one of those Big Sister chats, go find her on LinkedIn. She is obviously my favorite LinkedIn influencer. Her details are linked in the episode description. All of that's available for you, so you can just click away. Next on deck, we've got some astrology and spiritual hygiene in the pipeline, some beauty content, more Parisian living and expats in Paris, our new series that I love, and some bonus unhinged episodes are all coming your way. I love you all so much. I'm gonna go get a tiramisu martini with Stella. Gros bisous, à bientôt, bye. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of This Is Fine. I've been your host, Dominique Michelle Astorino. We're based in San Diego, recording in studio at DLI Productions in
Paris,
Pacific Beach, with Emmy Award-winning sound designer Dan De La Isla. This is a comedy and advice podcast, but for legal reasons, this entire podcast is a joke and none of it is medical advice. To download a transcript or learn more, visit thisisfinepodcast.com.